All right, we are plugged in on Sunday, the 25th of September, 2022. It's the Crazfiles podcast with Adam and Jay. Wilderness is plugging in with me for our usual monthly wrap-up and chat. It's always good to have Jay on to talk about his work and what's going on in this crazy world, eh, man? It's just absolutely unbelievable. It's baffling. The amount of information that's coming out, and as we were just talking about before, our personal day-to-day lives and things we've got to do every day, and I'm losing it a little bit trying to keep on top of everything. It's really amazing, incredible times, and things are speeding up, and so we plug in once a month, like many of my guests, to just wrap up the month and talk about what's going on around us, and Jay, of course, coming from the UK, gives us a unique perspective from his neck of the woods, and I'm here in Sydney, Australia. As we continue forward, everything's up on the website, crazfiles.com. Enjoy, contact me anytime. I put up all of Jay's relevant links to all his content as well in the podcast description. And I'm sure you can contact Jay as well if you need to, if you have any questions or anything. But he's over on social media outlets as well, so I'll tag all that in. Thanks to the members. You guys are awesome. You can support me over on the website for a cup of coffee a month. Expenses getting more and more here by the day, so it helps me to continue. I'm doing this by myself, so it's really about support. And there's a great members area there. And I'm doing the Night Watch podcast when I'm not on with guests. Mostly in the weeknights I'm here when I'm not on with anyone, covering all the latest and breaking down all the latest news and things that are coming in and getting emailed and over on Telegram and everything. There's always something to chat about. And so we need to keep the conversations rolling and stay positive and just keep breaking everything down as we see it and not just sit there waiting for a bloody sledgehammer over the top of our skulls. Because we need to be alert. We need to be alert and aware and awake. You know, awareness is the key. I always say that. So interesting times. Jay's on for the hour tonight. Good to have you on, buddy. how you been?
Well, good. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Adam. Just stopping my morning cup of tea there. Bit of a lion, so I haven't really been up that long. So I'm, you know, I'll do my best.
Taking it easy.
No, I think, yeah. But yeah, things are good. Yeah, busy, like you say. The temperature's just absolutely dipped where I am.
Yeah.
A noticeable dip. So I'm, you know, accumulating wood and preparing for a pretty cold incoming winter. A dark winter, as it's probably being referred to as. So just busy really with work, and videos have taken a bit of a backseat, I suppose, over the last sort of month. I think I've only probably put one or two out since we last spoke, but there is going to be one up today, so by the time this one goes out, there'll be something knocking around on my channel.
Mm-hmm. Your 9/11 one was the last kind of main one you did, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, and that was partially inspired by our conversations, actually. You know, the whole predictive programming stuff, and you sent me quite a few things about, like, Back to the Future, going over that stuff. So, yeah, it made me want to sort of dive back into that again and review a lot of that stuff, because there was a lot more of it than I actually realized. So, yeah, that was quite an entertaining little project.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, being September, you know. September, it's a lot was going up on social media, and a lot went up on Twitter as well. Really some incredible footage showing these towers and no planes obviously hitting them, and these explosions. Can't really deny it now. we move on, yeah, and I guess for a lot of young people growing up, they wouldn't even know anything about it. It's such an incredible... event in history anyway. Kind of small video there.
Yeah, like you say, it's definitely important to sort of keep the topic alive, isn't it? Because it's been such a key moment in the drive towards where we're at now in terms of the surveillance state and all that kind of stuff, and that's where it stems from, a lot of it, isn't it? And like you say, every year you get the stuff going on social media and the discussions about it, and it's amazing how little even the truth, or, you know, so-called truth community, are still kind of not really knowing what went on there. And I don't profess to know fully either, but you know, this sort of plane or no plane theory and all that kind of stuff just crops up every year, doesn't it? And it's quite a tiring process to go through, really. But I thought with my video it was interesting to add the context at the beginning in terms of like George Bush Senior and his speech, which was given exactly 11 years to the day before the main event. You know, some of the numerology and the timing and just the craziness, really, that went along with some of the numbers that were being played, you know, the 11, the occult number 11, and all the flight numbers corresponding with sort of Crowley's prime numbers and that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Just a much deeper topic there. And,
Freemasons and their numbers, eh? All in the numbers. If you look at gematria and stuff, it really is amazing.
That's kind of what I come to realize. I'd always discounted the numbers and the gematria and stuff. I'd never really looked into it until I realized how important it was to these occultists, you know.
Yeah, that's right. The 9/11 clips that you put in the video too from The Simpsons and all the video games, it really was astonishing, you know. I spoke to people who were living in New York at that time and they said there was just so much weird stuff going on as well.
Right.
You know, like after and before and signs in the subways and things as well. So I guess people just weren't aware of it at the time. I think, as you mentioned there, yeah, the Back to the Future with the Twin Pines Mall, the terrorist attack, the 9/11 upside down. I think part two of Back to the Future where the old guy's upside down and the towers are falling, if you've seen that, you know, really probably they're the strongest because the scenes that I've seen just because of Back to the Future was made in the 80s. And you're looking at a scene in there, obviously, where it's 9/11 upside down on the clock and the Twin Pines Mall and the terrorists attacking with the, yeah, I mean, my goodness, you know. So there's been a lot of this in film and film clips, music, rap clips, Simpsons, cartoons, video games, right through before, during and after. Actually showing these towers going down and exploding, so getting that into the public mindset. Also, if you go back and have a look at Back to the Future, which I watch them sometimes just to take notes again, there's a scene at the end of the movie where he comes back to the future, where he comes back to 85, and he's in the DeLorean, and he appears in the street and the, you know, out of the flash, and he smashes into a building, and you see the sign on the building is something to do with the Christ, like a, it's like a worship kind of place, like a, it's like a church or a theater or something to do with Christ, if you go back and have a look, and folks do, and he smashes the car straight through this thing, and then he backs it up and turns around, and then he gets out of the car, and there's all these porno XXX theaters around, and he says, I'm home. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, you have a look at that film. Yeah, so sort of tearing down and debasing the God and Christ sort of theme, you know, and
sort of
moral and good, yeah, and then looking at the pornos and the theaters, and in that scene in the movie is a very strong one. He smashes into this place of worship and then says, I'm home, when he sees the XXX theaters, which is kind of debasing, what's good and right, and then sort of saying that this debauchery and stuff is good. And for a movie that's rated PG or whatever, that's a pretty full-on scene that a lot of people may have missed, but there are a lot more. But to see a film like that made in the 80s with that strong theme of 9/11 is absolutely incredible. And also, as you showed in your clip, The Simpsons, I mean, it's actually right in your face. It's amazing, which makes me think it's kind of like mockery. They're telling you what they're going to do. And we always cover this, so it's like a subconsciously contract with them, but we think it's just entertainment, but they're really showing you exactly what they're going to do through entertainment, and then they're doing it. And it's really amazing.
If you review all that stuff, the only conclusion you can really come to is that potentially these towers were erected in order to be taken down.
For a sacrifice, yeah.
Yeah, that was always the plan, you know. That's the kind of conclusion I end up coming to, really. You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's some kind of symbolic, ritualistic takedown, isn't it? And sacrifice, or with the 9/11 and the dates and the 11 as well, very strong dates. And an incredible, incredible, incredible event that we've covered so much here, from directed energy weapons to nukes, trying to find out, because it became a rabbit hole, 9/11, you know?
It did. Yeah.
Everyone went around 1,001 different holes, and that's how they get away with stuff, because everyone's just coming up with all these conspiracy theories or conspiracy facts or whatever as to what they thought happened on that day. But all these years later, there's no answers so much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we subscribe to this idea that the things that you talk about that are the most suppressed are generally the ones that are over the target. I always found that the directed energy weapon kind of theory was the most interesting one to me, because there was always a lack of an explanation as to why the towers almost turned to dust in midair, you know. So I've always thought that there was a combination of detonation and some form of directed energy that allowed the towers to... this sort of dustification of the towers and sort of burned cars that were within a certain sort of perimeter. But I think it was Dr. Judy Wood, who was a big proponent of that theory, but she ended up being demonized to such an extent and ridiculed and goofified, and even by the likes of Alex Jones, David Icke, even up to Ryan Dawson, Corbett Report, you know, who have been good on a lot of stuff, but you go right across the board with independent media and mainstream media, and Dr. Judy Wood was completely ridiculed by pretty much all of them, because they tried to lumber it in with this idea that there were no planes, which I could sort of envisage a scenario where there weren't commercial planes that were piling into them, but you know, there were certainly objects that hit the towers, but I don't believe that was the cause of them coming down, you know. But yeah, sure. I think Richard D. Hall's done a lot of research on the plane stuff, because he wanted to look at every single piece of footage that came out filming the planes going into them. And he mapped out the trajectory across every single piece of footage, and concluded that they were all, you know, depicting planes hitting the towers or something hitting the towers. So I think it rules out this idea that there was, you know, that it was all CGI, which some people say. But anyway, that's my stance on it. You know.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any evidence of planes actually hitting the towers.
Right.
And the way that, there's just weird angles that don't show anything, and then there's others showing planes, and then the way you see those classic images of the planes kind of going through like butter, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, totally.
Really weird. Really, really, really strange. But if they can pull off something like that, you know, like sort of like an illusion, that's why I said it. It's just such a, on its surface, you know, I mean, on the day that it happened, because we talked about this on many podcasts on 9/11, you know, when it happened, it was just incredible. I think most people were just in shock, but it did create deep trauma in pretty much everyone on planet Earth, which is what it was designed to do. It was about trauma-based mind control and fear. And on that day, we know that, like, all the news information that was being pumped out was coming from pretty much one source anyway. and it was being beamed around the world, and every single had millions of stations and things and wobbling heads and news anchors and reporters. They were all saying exactly the same thing. And if you watch the reports on all the US channels on that day, there was just, they were just telling you terrorists, towers down, hitting the towers down. There was even subtitles at the bottom telling you the towers were coming down. The terrorists did it. Osama bin Laden did it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like people just did. And that's what I spoke to Dr. Judy Wood,
really?
A podcast. She was very funny about who she spoke to, though. So it took me like a couple of weeks of emails and that, you know, I'm just here to, we were just here to have a chat, and that was all.
Right.
Because she got so scorned and she thought that we were going to get her on an attack, you know. And, you know, we got the book, you know. I mean, my dad's got the book as well, so it's a mammoth book. But, you know, that's what she was saying, that people were being told what to see, you know, on that day, and that you people didn't step back and just go, hang on, you know, and use your, you know, use your, you know, your own mind and your gut instinct and sort of look at what's going on. Like, how the hell on earth does a tower that big like that just fall like that after just a bit of a fire at the top? I mean, that's never happened in history. It's just not going to humanly happen. In fact, there's been many instances where planes have hit buildings and they didn't, it's just not going to crumble like that. And it almost did seem like the buildings were being cooked with something. It was very strange. And the way they just disintegrated. And then, of course, the other towers fell for no particular reason, right in front of the media who were lying about everything. I mean, what a day in history. But, you know, people were scared and they were being told by the media to think something. Same with COVID. You know, but this whole, it's never changed the way that they do things, you know, and they've been doing it with COVID-19, you know, they've been telling you to be scared of this virus that isn't there. And you got, you know, half a planet full of people who are petrified of catching something that just isn't there because the media's inducing you to think in such a way. And once people start to believe such a thing, then they really do conjure that belief up, you know, and I guess they really do see it. And, Judy said that on the podcast. She gave a great kind of example about convincing people that there's actually a bridge with cars going across it. It's just something like that. And if you do it for long enough, people will actually see a bridge with cars going across it. She was, you know, and like if you can convince people that something is there, you know, enough times over and over and over again through social engineering and propaganda and stuff, people will actually see that structure or that thing, you know. We conjure it up with our minds and our belief system. And when that hive mind, like at a big sporting game, you know, we all get together and we just have that energy and power and belief in something, we can conjure up anything. So that's where they're getting us, you know, that kind of in our imaginations as well. And they're making us believe and see things that just simply aren't there. And 9/11 was an incredible, incredible event. So it's good you've kind of put all that, those little bits and snippets and bits and pieces of the brainwashing and the conditioning going on in just everyday general TV shows and cartoons and film clips and rap clips, which we've put up as well, blowing up the towers and stuff. It really is incredible, you know. You got to think to yourself, if that was a real terrorist event, wouldn't that be deemed too sensitive to be making all this content that's kind of mocking it as well? And then you realize they're doing it on purpose, and that is allowed to happen, because it's it really is a psychological operation to induce us and get us used to this. And then when it finally happens on the day, it's not so shocking. And somewhere deep inside of us, we've seen it before, and we move on. And then the media kind of knows how to in a very, you know, incremental and insidious way, direct us to where they want us to be, you know. And we're not, as Judy said and others have said, step back and just take a look into the looking glass and work it out for yourself. So an incredible time in history. But I think your clip was good because a lot of younger people who might not know too much about 9/11 and like YouTube and things, it's good to get that in their face because they can watch those little snippets and go, wow, like how did they know that in the 90s or whatever, or in the 80s, the exact same event would happen. This is like, you know, deja vu. It's really, you know, it really is, isn't it? It's really strange. So it's good to do those kinds of clips.
We've covered a lot of predictive programming type stuff on the channel already, haven't we? So it just sort of adds another event to the list. And, you know, spurns on this idea that you can look pretty much throughout history and it's just a kind of a manufactured reality, really, that we've just accepted for so long. And obviously as a result of, like, 9/11, I think Biden's just re-signed after 21 years the act that was drawn up as a result of 9/11, like the terrorist act or something, which just sort of permanently keeps the country in a state of emergency as a result of 9/11. So, you know, it's like a clear motive to the event. I mean, that goes without saying. And I guess the same with the COVID one now. Like, we've had the COVID Emergency Act has been in since, I don't know what, like March 2020 or something like that, or a bit later in the UK. So again, it's just this, you know, the powers that be can achieve a lot more dystopian nonsense when they plunge people into a state of perceived emergency. And that's the result of these events, isn't it?
All these events. In fact, another big event that we're hearing about now, because it's coming into October, and we've got all sorts of documentaries and the media are up there with the violins and everything, and we're getting a bit pumped with this, that I've noticed lately, is the Bali bombings, which killed all the Australian tourists in 2002. So we're hearing a lot about this event taking place. And not a lot of people have wanted to cover this or have been too scared to cover it. So only a few of us have actually been covering this event, like the Port Arthur false flag shootings in Tasmania, where that was done to disarm Australians and take our guns. This was another event which I believe was done when John Howard was in to get us into the Iraq war with George Bush and Tony Blair. Because Australians did not want to go into Iraq. They didn't want any wars. And the public mindset was very against all of this. And like 9/11 and George Bush with his fighter pilot uniform up there, let's go get the Arabs. And the American, you know, go and get them because of what they did to us. You know, it's problem, reaction, solution, hook, line and sinker sort of stuff. You know, they create a problem, they blow something up, the people, the public react, and then they offer the solution, which is just incredible. But the Bali bombing,
what year was that?
It's a popular tourist district in Bali. On the 12th of October 2002, they said a suicide bomber planted a car bomb, killed 202 people, 89 of who were Australian tourists. Reports said that the bomb consisted of C4, so a military-grade plastic explosive, which is next to impossible to obtain anyway, except for the military. How are Balinese people going to get that? And the guy that they said was a tourist, he even admitted that they don't have access to get this kind of stuff anyway. Then the story changed after that. Then they said it was like more of a crude design. But the devastation of that bomb, and what it did to buildings and killed all those people and the club and stuff, and what we were told, suggested that it was more powerful than what they, you know, initially said. So there was a lot of weirdness with it, and some people have gone in and looked at. Obviously, we have Mossad, the Mossad, which is Israeli intelligence, all over this, as we did in Australia with the shootings in Tasmania. Always Israeli intelligence involved. We had them in Melbourne as well during the lockdowns and stuff. Victorian police were working with Israeli intelligence agencies on how to, you know, make the people submit and how to control protests and everything like that. But this kind of escalated and went on. But the bomb itself was very, very suspicious because of how powerful and the crater that it made under a club there, you know. And it just couldn't have been, you know, C4 and stuff and what they said. So we were kind of looking at something that was nuclear, maybe like a mini nuke. which was very interesting. So a few people have been studying into this and this false flag event. Prime Minister John Howard, as I said, the three amigos, Howard, George Bush Jr. and Tony Blair, war criminals. Yeah. And what they did to the people of Iraq and what they, you know, did to our soldiers and this crime scene that they created and what those three were involved with is unbelievable. But as it says, Prime Minister John Howard also, you know, backed the British and US, and we got us, Australia, involved in Iraq and how long we were there. And this was all on the, very, very incredible situation, and Australians are being... bashed over the head with this, propaganda about Bali.
Yeah.
And what we do know, as well, that people were vaporized, and several victims of the club bombing in Kuta Beach had flash burns to their bodies, something common with people who exposed to nuclear blasts. And sources also revealed that CIA contract agents and Indonesian national was at Kuta Beach. So, a CIA contract agent was at that scene. This happened in Tasmania, in Port Arthur as well, before the terrorist bombing. So they do kind of drills and there's things going on before. This was very, very highly suspicious. But there are many reports saying that this and also it's very suspicious because Australia came in and demanded that the pieces and material and stuff from that event were taken away. And no one could actually have a look at the evidence and study it. It was taken somewhere else, offshore, away on behest of the Australian government. So the Australian government placed pressure on the Indonesian government to quickly remove the debris from the Bali bombing to barges brought in by Australia to Kuta Port, and the debris were then dumped in the ocean. Wow. And this happened apparently with the World Trade Center stuff as well. And we know this through people like Don Fox and others who have written extensively on this. They took all of this out so people could investigate it. Mm-hmm. So the sites were compromised. And so the investigations couldn't be carried out properly. You can't remove stuff from a crime scene, and the Australian government did this in the Bali bombing attacks. So I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this, but that is stated in a fact. And I can put the information through and attach it here tonight. But they did. They took we heard that on the news. The government came in and they took all these debris and bits and pieces out, and they took it out offshore and did something with it. Why didn't they want people to look at that? Would it show that it was nuclear? So very interesting anyway. And I did speak to a guy in the US, Don Fox. I'm not into my nuclear physics, to be honest, but he does all that. And he claimed that 9/11 was mini nukes that brought it down as well. And Dr. Wood stated that a little bit as well, but she also mentioned that it was cooked or energy weapons as well. But they did call it Ground Zero, didn't they? 9/11 Ground Zero, which is nukes. That's nuclear zone, Ground Zero. So, and he explained it all. We did some podcasts, all the cars that you were mentioning and the toasting and the engine blocks and all of this stuff was nukes. So that was, some people get really angry about that. It causes a lot of fire and debate. But it was just something that was covered, as well as Bali. But just bringing the Bali bombing up because we're hearing that in Australia now, another event on the back of 9/11. So they're keeping it going and the fire going, in the public mindset.
Of course, there's constant process of manufacture and amongst people, for sure. We had the 7/7 bombings in London as well, which was a bit later. I think it was 2005. But, there was a series of these.
That's right.
Around the world, wasn't there?
And
obviously that number, 7/7, came up quite a lot in that 9/11 video.
The 33s, the 6s, the 666s, 33s, and the 11s, and you start to see it, and it's everywhere.
It really is. The fingerprints are everywhere.
You kind of wonder how, definitely these shootings and things are just, or false flags, are just all these school shootings and things they do. It's just, it just seems to me, I don't have it on me, but I know there was a book written on 9/11 about the ritual side of things, and that it was an operation of fear. And I was listening to a podcast, I think it was Strieber, or Whitley Strieber's podcast. He had a guy on. They were talking about, you know, even just the wars, the world wars, and all these operations they do. It's all about, seems to be about fear. That we're being, it implies that we're just being fed on through these events, you know, that we're feeding something, our emotional, you know, our emotions, you know, it really does. And it's no different now with the virus, you know.
For sure, it just creates the compliance that they want, doesn't it? You know, when people are in a constant state of fear, they're always looking for. Yeah, it just keeps the governments relevant, doesn't it? Powers that be relevant to the people, because you know we constantly need their help to avert the next crisis and stuff. When in reality, we just want to live in a bit of peace and harmony and just a very simplistic life, really.
I've said that before, just with bringing up 9/11, a few times, you know, I've been out in the day or just looked out the window and it's been a blue day and I've seen an airliner coming from Sydney Airport going over the blue sky on that angle, and it's reminded me of that, you know, like it really is in our subconscious mindset. Sometimes you look up the sky, you see those planes on that angle, and it just, you think 9/11... It'll never go away. I mean, it just shocked. It deeply, deeply shocked the whole planet. I remember that day, it was like, holy, like, it was like some Hollywood movie. You just, you were watching it, but a part of you didn't believe that it was, you were even seeing it. Because of movies and they're showing you all these movies of similar things, you know, action movies and where the White House is being attacked and all this stuff. And people watch that at the cinema and they get used to that. And then when an event actually really happens, because the lines between reality and fiction are so blurred, people don't know what to think, you know, it kind of stuns them.
Yeah. That shows the classic one, back to the pandemic narrative, is like the movie Contagion, which we've talked about before, which just sort of perfectly lays out, you know, in conjunction with the CDC, who were involved in the movie itself. It just sort of perfectly illustrated exactly how they would combat the very situation that we're in now. So, you know, when it does happen, it's like, you know, the roadmap's already there and people are kind of primed for the ways to tackle it. It's just perfect programming, really, isn't it?
Yeah, so interesting word.
Yeah.
You use their priming or prepping people, for the incoming events.
Yeah, and like the Hannah Fry thing that we did, you know, the BBC.
That's incredible.
Ginger-haired woman kind of thing. And they're saying in quotes after that documentary that they were, you know, working with the people involved in the documentary and those that participated in the exercise once the event kicked off in real life. So it's... You know,
explain that in a few bullet points for new listeners, Jay, that come on board and might know what you're talking about there. That was an incredible video you did. I might attach it in again as well. BBC doing a kind of a mock-up of the pandemic live TV in your neck of the woods. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a woman called Hannah Fry, who's since gone on to do a kind of a hit piece about the unvaccinated on the BBC. Originally, they did a documentary or televised tabletop exercise on the BBC that depicted a contagious outbreak of a virus in a small town called Haslemere in and around London, like a small town. And it was built around this idea that we need, you know, mobile phone apps to track people who've been infected, and you know they need to, the government needs to track everyone's whereabouts and movements and stuff. And of course, once the actual pandemic kicked off, it was quoted that the patient zero was based in Hazelmere, the very town that this documentary emanated out of. So, this is a small town, as I say. So it was just, the coincidence is just off the charts. And yeah, we covered that in a video, went over the old footage of this documentary, and just crazy.
It's weird as well. The other one we were talking about on our previous show with the what was the company called? The telco company that with the they had that weird thing going on with the Queen coming out and
Oh yeah, I have a bit of an update on that as well. The
was
magenta
the
stuff, the T-Mobile was
that
the
that's right. Yeah, the Queen kind
yeah.
of and now she's. Well, she's died, as they're telling us,
Yeah.
and it's kind of like I feel like she's unleashed the Antichrist or something. Now she's gone. It was weird that she did that event with such a strange ritualistic kind of thing going on that you exposed in your video and we were talking about with that mobile company. Give us the update anyway, but and then now she's gone. It's like she's
Yeah.
unleashed something here with technology.
Well,
You know,
yeah.
it's really weird.
Yeah, the context of what you were talking about was the Jubilee ceremony where the Queen came out and pressed this giant magenta cube to launch this three-strand DNA light show at the Queen's Jubilee. So it was like a final ceremony, if you like, potentially, if it was even her. Even though they depicted her as a hologram in a carriage during that event as well.
That's right.
But there was certainly someone who looked like the Queen who came out and pressed the magenta cube. But I thought it was interesting. Not many people picked up on it, but Liz Truss, who's like the new British leader, on day one of her sort of leadership, she came out wearing an all magenta coloured uniform or trousers and shirt and whatnot, like full magenta on day one of her leadership thing. I thought that just struck me as quite an interesting color based coincidence. And I think it was a couple of days before the Queen passed away, Liz Truss was having like this photo op with the Queen. But it just looked all wrong, this photo. Like the Queen was sort of half the size that she should be. Just looked tiny, it just looked like a really weird photo. It just wasn't something wasn't right about it. It didn't look like, to be honest. So yeah, I don't think it's like too conspiratorially crazy to suggest that the Queen has actually not been around for maybe quite a bit longer than we're told.
Of course.
But even when I speak to the older generation, like my mum, about stuff like that, I mean, I think we looked at like the Christmas address last year, with that show on TV. And my mum, who's, been on the planet for long enough to suss these things out, said, "That's not her." She was convinced that it wasn't her. So yeah, maybe there's some weird numerology stuff, like she had to die at age 96 or whatever it was, or who knows,
Could
93,
be.
was it? Who knows, maybe it's all mapped out when these things need to happen. Maybe she passed away a while ago, and they were always going to be very careful about how they dropped it, weren't they? The timing of it has to be right.
Well, these people make movies, Look at what runs Planet Earth. Hollywood makes movies. So
Yeah, exactly.
why would we think that it's a conspiracy theory that they can't fool us
Yeah.
again and again, when we're
Yeah.
watching so much film? I saw a, there was YouTube videos up of Prince Charles doing interviews and it clearly wasn't him. I don't know if you saw those. It was incredible. It was an imposter. And this has happened recently very strongly with Joe Biden in the US. A completely different person has been impersonating him. And it's happened with Vladimir Putin and many world leaders. It's just not them. You can see I've got mountains of evidence here. And I've put up another one of Joe Biden. That's there's another guy. And yeah. I have a friend, Jason, who's on with me usually weekly. We chat, and he said that what you were talking about as well, he said he was watching a clip of the Queen. This was about maybe a month ago, and he said it was so weird. She was on the news when he was there at home at night, and he said her head was too far in front of her body. Like her body, you know, her head was like out, like an arm length out almost. And it was really weird, like glitch kind of thing going on. So very, very strange. As you said, she probably died a long while ago, and they've kept that going because they wanted her to die on that specific date, and they do this ritual and everything. And all these people lined up in that queue, you know, going, and there's nothing in the coffin. There's nothing there. I strongly would suggest.
Someone pointed out to me that and I don't know how true this is in terms of the weight, but the idea was that because they're put in these sort of tombs, essentially, she would have been side by side with Philip, that they need these like extremely heavy kind of lead-lined coffins to presumably avoid too much decomposition or smell or something. So, some people were sort of looking at the people lifting this coffin and going, you know, no chance. You know, that's like a lead-lined coffin. There's no way she's in there. So, quite possible. Yeah. So, yeah, queuing up for 16 hours to stare at a wooden box, you know, each to their own.
This is the thing, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. You're just thinking, oh, my goodness me.
Yeah. It was interesting how the UK handled it, actually, because it was almost like they, I think originally they said we're going to have, you know, 7 days of mourning or something. And then a couple of days later, it was like 17 days of mourning or something. You know, they just, it's almost like they were mandating the idea that we need to mourn, you know. It was quite a weird dynamic.
And
you will be upset.
And did you see it came out of the Daily Mail and others when they were bringing the coffin through into the palace? Did you see that images of the beam of light coming down and hitting the coffin? Did you see that? It was so bizarre.
I must admit, I didn't engage with any of the with the funeral and stuff.
Yeah, there was there was a rainbow over Westminster, but a beam of light. It was in all the big papers we were talking about on previous podcasts. Yeah, a beam of light. The heavens opened and a light came down and hit the Queen's coffin as they were carrying it past the people. Wow. Up to put it down there, and you'll pick that article up easier, and I can link it through to you. And that is not a beam of sunlight; that is a beam. It's like artificial. It this shows you that we're living in a manufactured reality. I mean, how weird is? And I think, as John Hamer said, that's to show the world, you know, the people of the world, that she was. The gates of heaven are opened up, and look how special this person is, and she's just wonderful, and this beam of light coming down. It was in the big papers. It's just absolutely bizarre. Because it's not a natural beam of light. It just looks like a beam.
I'll have to check that out, yeah.
The Truman Show. That's what I was saying, the Truman Show.
But I did make the point on Twitter that, you know, in terms of the Queen and this kind of worship of the Queen, you know, where was she when they were rolling out these, you know, experimental injections and stuff, you know, on her people or whatever? Where was she? Well, she was on the news telling people that you're selfish if you don't take it, you know. Like, you know, this isn't a woman of the people. She was more than happy to inflict an experiment. Potion on her people, on her subjects, and we all know the stories about the royal family and their affiliation with
pedophiles,
disturbed Jimmy Savile types. Like Prince Charles III is, you know, I don't know whether you've touched on this, but it was pretty well covered in the mainstream media that essentially Prince Charles, as he was known at the time, was getting Savile to give him marriage advice between him and Diane.
That's right.
And
he was getting advice off a child rapist.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and think about the amount of vetting that an individual would need to get anywhere near the royals. You know what I mean? They must have known exactly what Jimmy Savile was up to, in my opinion, you know, the amount of vetting that would be done on people. But yeah, he was seriously close to the current king of England. And we all know about Prince Andrew and, you know, other shady individuals, the Epstein cabal and all that. So crazy, crazy to see that many people queuing up to worship this.
I did have an image went up on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it as well, of the Queen at a cabin and then Epstein.
Of course,
at the same one. I mean, I can't confirm that, but it does seem like the same place.
It does, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think it's like is it the Balmoral Estate up in Scotland, I believe?
Mm.
And Prince Andrew frequents there. Like, there's photos of him up there all the time. So you'd imagine it was somewhere that Prince Andrew kind of authorised them to stay there rather than necessarily the Queen or whatever. But yeah, I'm pretty convinced that it's legit, the photo. For sure.
Yeah, as you said, yeah, this is the royals associating with known pedophiles. And as you said perfectly there, yeah, you can't just be close to Prince Charles and the Queen and led into that circle.
Yeah.
And here you have an entertainer in Savile that is a known insane maniac child molester, and here he is giving the Prince Charles advice.
Yeah.
And the public don't want to see it, you see. It's unbelievable, and it's unbelievable to see in Australia on live breakfast TV these talking head prostitutes sobbing. They're crying on national television about the Queen. And I was walking past the news agency the other day, and they've got these headlines up there, and it's like, "Bye, Mum. We love you, Mum." You know, and all this kind of bullshit that they're putting out there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, people love the sort of pageantry of it, the theatre of it and stuff, don't they? They don't really know what they're buying into, other than the theatre, I guess.
The theatre, they love it, eh?
Mm.
But, I mean, if you look at Charles and if you look at some of the dirty laundry or skeletons in the closet there, I mean, you can't kind of deny it.
Really?
I always wonder as well with Diana if that was faked. If that was a faked death or it actually happened. We were talking about it on a previous podcast, you know, that it was very weird, that when the car crashed, a light flashed, which could have triggered the driver, you know, mind control kind of stuff, that she wasn't actually dead, that she was murdered, but then others think that that was complete psyop, like Epstein, you know, that he hung himself in prison and they're taken somewhere else, you know, maybe play another role.
Probably murdered. Because I mean, she was about to have a baby with a Muslim, was she not?
That's right.
Mm, so I think there's, that would be frowned upon by the royal family, I'd imagine.
Aren't they weird?
Moving on with their life and stuff. You know? Yeah, because there's a lot of weird stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, Diana was a White Hat or something, but she's probably just from the same school as like, you know, someone who was groomed by Epstein or something, you know, like groomed into the role or whatever. But she was obviously like loved by the British people, and there was probably a lot of positive stuff you could have said about her and stuff. But
maybe too popular?
Yeah, right. Potentially. Just the fact that she'd moved away from the royal family and was about to have a baby with someone of a certain colour and religion, there was just no chance that they were going to allow that. Yeah, strange. I lost my train of thought. I was going to say something else, but forget.
Strange times, isn't it? I knew 2022 was going to be full on, man. you know, last year, wasn't it? It was all about scaring people into getting the jabs and the virus and locking everyone down. And you've got to get the jabs. You've got to get jabs in your arms. And then as we went into this year, it was opening up and we're opening up the world and you can travel again and we're opening up the shops and everything. But hasn't it been absolutely bizarre? With the Queen and all this stuff going on and Russia and Ukraine and everything that's happening, it's just so strange what's going on. Some latest breaking news in Australia has just been absolutely bizarre. The second biggest telecommunications company in Australia, Optus. We have Telstra and Optus. These are the big mobile carriers and, you know, phone and everything, internet and everything. Optus are huge. Apparently, they've been hacked, and millions of people's data is gone, like all their ID and phone numbers and all their personal information is gone, right, by the hackers. So they've hacked into Optus, and they've taken all this. And now what's happened is that the terrorists, all the hackers, are demanding $1 million ransom from the telco company in Australia to give back the information, or they're going to sell it in blocks. And so they're sending everyone emails out saying that your information was taken. They don't seem too sorry about it. And people are really pissed off, obviously, about it. And I'm sitting here today thinking, what are we living in, a Hollywood movie, man? I mean, really, seriously, like hackers on the dark web have hacked almost the biggest telecommunications company in Australia, and now they're demanding just $1 million ransom.
Yeah, that was my first thought. That's like a deadly amount of money given the size of
it's
the
not,
company.
It's yeah, it's $1 million for such a big worldwide event. Yeah. Anyway, I just found the whole thing obscene, and I was thinking, I wonder what they're going to do now. And then just looking at it now, tonight, it says the federal government is about to unveil new security measures following the massive Optus data breach. So here you go. Problem, reaction, solution again. Yeah. What kind of security measures are we going to have to, the public are going to have to put up with after this? What more rights are we going to lose?
Yeah, you're touching on something really interesting. It totally ties in with the new video that I'm putting up today, which is about like smart cities and stuff like that, and how what you're talking about, the solution to this is obviously going to be the digital ID, or like the federal digital ID issued by the
government. It's very clear.
That's the solution, isn't it? Yeah.
See, all our data can be hacked online when we're paying for our electricity bills or power bills and stuff like that. So you're just not secure. The hackers are out there and they're taking all your information. So we have to come in and protect you.
I've not heard people really discuss it in that way, but that's really interesting. That makes a lot of sense, because we've obviously got like the World Economic Forum sort of cyber polygon events and stuff like that, so we know that in the future there's going to be a lot of this kind of stuff going on, a lot of hacking, and maybe they'll take a bank down and that kind of stuff. And it's perfect, because there are these kind of illusory anonymous people that they can refer to. You know, we don't have to even identify them.
No.
We can just be like, oh, there was a mysterious hack. We don't know who they are.
We can't find them. We just don't know. It's like Osama bin Laden. Yeah. We know that he was in a Corolla zooming across the deserts over there in the Middle East, and then he blew up the towers, but we can't find him.
So I guess the Corona being referred to as the invisible enemy is just another invisible enemy, isn't it? That they can blame everything on. All these evil right-wing hackers are taking us out. Yeah, here's the solution.
That's right. I would say to anyone in Australia, it might make me unpopular, but I would just, my gut feeling is I don't think that any of your data has been breached. I don't think that this happened at all. I think it's a psyop, and I think that this is, we are an experiment in this country, and I think that this so-called breach is all, is controlled within. And I think that this is bringing in the new digital currency. And as you said there, Jay, the new digital IDs and everything, they're going to change the whole way we use the internet and the whole way we bank, the whole way we do everything, and everything's going to change. Everything's going to become digital and online and in the cloud now, because we're just not secure from these anonymous, mysterious hackers in black hoodies online somewhere in Russia or the Philippines. And they're taking all that. Come on, folks. Seriously. I mean, come on. The biggest telecommunications company in Australia is going to be just hacked, and the federal police are into it now, and they're tracking them down on the dark web. It's a movie script. And, you know, so I don't think any of our information is gone. I think it's a psychological operation to make people think that their information has been hacked into, so you buy into the new digital economy.
Well, you could argue, you know, like the Promise Software conspiracy with, like, the Maxwells and stuff, where you've essentially got every computer or operating system has a backdoor built into it by default. So there's no shortage of data on us doing the rounds, is there? It's like, it's all accessible.
That's right.
Backdoors into everything.
As soon as you go on the internet, it's, you're done.
Yeah.
You're cooked.
So yeah, the data's being harvested all the time, I guess.
Yeah, you've got to be just careful about what you do. So, you know, like, if you create accounts or whatever, you know, just try to skewer it a bit, you know, and try to be careful about everything you put online, because, you know, it's gone anyway. I mean, you're not any more protected because you're on alternative media, things like Telegram and stuff like that. I always just say, look, I've got nothing to hide. We're just sharing information. That's okay. But all these big, massive telco companies and stuff, now being hacked on the back of everything that we're seeing and what we know is going on with the Great Global Reset and Agenda 2030. Now they're hacking the biggest telecom company in Australia. I mean, please, why now? Why on the back of COVID? I've never seen this in my life. So why has the second biggest, telecommunications company in Australia that millions of Australians use their internet and everything and mobile phone coverage and everything, why have they been hacked right now on the back of COVID-19 and this point in history when they're bringing in this great reset? Please, please, people, understand that this is a psychological operation to bring us into this new world order, great reset. And digital stuff, you know, I mean, it's very obvious they're setting it up very quickly. In saying that, I would look at this whole situation and I would ask your opinion on this. I feel like they're moving too quick, because I look at everything and I think that this was supposed to come later. I think that there's been such a great mass awakening that they're moving forward too quickly. Do you feel like that, or you feel like everything's going to plan?
Yeah, I struggle with that one. Like, I to and fro between opinions on it, you know, because there was like that SPARS 2025 document that sort of predicted the phase that we're in right now, which is like the walking back of the narrative. You know, you see all these mainstream media articles kind of talking about, oh, you know, this pandemic was mishandled by large corporations and that kind of stuff. And we're really seeing that walk back happening now. And the point, you know, where Fauci's kind of on TV going, yeah, I think there was a bit of a misinterpretation about, you know,
well, they don't work.
When we said the vaccines were really safe and effective.
You know, now they don't work.
Misinterpreted that, yeah. So it's all being walked back. And we've got to keep sort of pushing home the message in some of these videos. And I'm thinking of doing one of on that theme, you know, just showing what they originally said. I know it's kind of been done, but, you know, these people going on TV going, it's 100% effective, you know, stuff like that. It all needs to be put out there, because you know they're going to wipe it from the internet, you know, and change the narrative on it.
They're doing that in Australia, yeah. The health authorities in Victoria are saying, someone did a video of Brett Sutton in Victoria saying, you got to get it, you got to get it, it's the only thing that can save you. And then a few months later, 1, 2, 3, 4, or whatever boosters, they just don't seem to be working.
Yeah.
You're right.
And how can people not see that?
Yeah.
Crazy.
We do know in the US, the booster program, especially for children, is completely bombed. from latest stats and great videos coming out. It's people are not giving their kids these clot shots, and the booster program also in Australia, and I know in the UK and everywhere, some people are getting them, 3 and 4 or 5 or whatever, but most of the population has said, you know, I'm not doing this. This is ridiculous. You know, and it stuns me to think that in Melbourne, Australia, they're setting up facilities to manufacture these things through Moderna, and it's like, why are you setting up a Moderna facility in Melbourne to make these injections when everyone's already told you no? It's like 5G. The communities are saying we don't want these towers there, and they're doing it anyway. It's incredible.
So in answer to your question, I'm not really sure. Like, I guess it's true in the sense they are moving too quickly in some senses, and then, you know, it's hard to really answer that, I find, because it's like the narrative's not going anywhere. This mRNA stuff isn't going anywhere. But at the same time, you've got a massive portion of society that are never going to trust Big Pharma again.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that's slightly confusing. But I almost think when we're on the subject of data, that it's also very easy for them to identify what they would consider dissidents, you know, people like us. And so, not to be sort of blackpilled or anything, but it's weird how this is going to pan out. You know, what are they going to do about people like us? Because they can't allow Big Pharma to collapse, for example, as a result of this. For it to all come out. So it's kind of a worrying thing to consider, really, that in the future there really is this desire to stamp out any kind of opposing opinions.
That's right.
So that's the thing that concerns me, I guess.
Like, that's why we need everyone on side. We need everybody. Doesn't matter if you've had 1, 2, or 3, or 4. We need jabs. We need everyone on side, you know?
Yeah, true. A numbers game. Always a numbers game.
Always. And then once enough of us wake up and we, you know, it's finished. If you look at Operation Lockstep, and you look at Agenda 2030 and Klaus Schwab's book and the agenda that they have set out, it's all planned, and there's motion after motion. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 steps or whatever. And you can look at when it started, they were stepping us through this, but it just seems to me now that they're rushing. It's overload. You know, I can just, it doesn't seem to be working for me. And this is at another level. I think that it's not just us fighting back and things happening, but it's a spiritual thing as well. It's an emotional and physical. It's like a consciousness sort of vibrational field as well, with humanity waking up and becoming aware. That is creating a bad environment for this system. Whatever it is, and I think that's having a big effect as well. That as more and more people wake up and they, you know, they start to wise onto this, and I'm seeing it absolutely everywhere, all over the planet. Yes, there's a massive fight back, but you've got to look at that as, you know, a spiritual thing as well. You know, an energy level. We are starting to see the system for what it is and what they're trying to do to us. And poisoning us on every level, and everywhere that we look, they're trying to poison us, and they're trying to take away our fuel and our lives and our houses and our comfort and our communities, and, you know, they're trying to mess with our food supply, and they're trying to bring in the bugs and everything, you know, and, you know, all the things that they're trying to do. You can see this sick agenda in our schools with the kids and everything that's going on. And I think large sections of society, even if they have had these jabs and they initially fell into that plan, you know, we're starting to see it now. And that creates a conscious awareness that is also battering this system, and it's having a big effect. And that would be, I would be more inclined to sort of look at it at that level, because it's we're under spiritual and psychological warfare. It's like emotional vampires, and they're draining our lives away, you know, from our, you know, all around us, and we're living our lives and we're becoming sicker and sicker and we're not seeing it, you know, and we're being dragged through here. And I think that once, you know, it is really incredible going to the last protests that we had and events here in Australia all over the country were phenomenal. And a lot of people from all walks of life are turning up and they understand now, and they didn't before, but now they can see. And I think that large groups of people that can see, like you and me and our listeners, and we're having these conversations and we're starting to think this way. You and me right now talking, we are creating this awareness, you know, and when our listeners hear this, it's creating an awareness because you're thinking in a certain way and you're exposing the system and you're understanding, you're consciously aware. And that is the key, I think. And I think that's having an effect. And I think that's why they're rushing. Because I think the things that we're seeing now and what they're doing and attempting, it's too fast to me. It just doesn't seem to make sense. They're bringing in this smart city agenda and all this technology too quick, and they're ramming it in. Mm-hmm. And people are just not having it, and they're not buying it anymore, and they don't want their jabs, and they don't want this high technology, and they're starting to speak up about it. And so it kind of really is a mess a little bit, but I've been asking that same question to people, you know, because I think it is the point of our times. Do you think that it's all going to plan? And everything that our reactions and everything that we're doing and everything that's happening to us is exactly what they want? Or do you think it's just chaos and they're trying to do too much too quickly? Because if you control the planet like they do, and you control the internet and you control our electricity and everything, why would you try to do this to everybody? It just seems like a last-ditch attempt to grab ultimate control of humanity and our minds, and maybe things aren't going to plan, not just at a physical level, but also a spiritual level as well, that we might not be aware of. But I hold faith, and I think that things aren't going to plan. I'll just put that out there anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, no, I do agree with you. I suppose it's like, you could say, like, 70% of everything that we see is very, you know, like, controlled or an operation. But there's always a certain percentage which is a bit of an unknown, or, you know, the random, or the certain actions by a group of people, or, you know, so we can't discount the fact that, you know, you can't go along with the idea that everything is 100% controlled and planned, and, you know, there's got to be some magical factor in there somewhere. And, yeah, no, I do agree with you. But I mean, as far as like the intention or the plan, it's like most people can clearly see what that is now when you talk about smart cities and changing the food system and all that stuff. And I suppose from their perspective, there is a level of urgency because they're constantly trying to prop up a currency that's failing and inflating, and, you know, so that's sort of the crux of it, isn't it? If we think of like conflicts and world wars all being orchestrated by the banksters at the top, kind of thing, then, you know, it's their system that's ultimately failing, and they need to switch over to an alternative system as quickly as possible.
That's right.
I suppose that's what it comes down to, just, you know, down to the money, basically.
They're obviously getting ready to take that cash away from us and bring in some kind of digital system. And that is really ultimate control, isn't it? Because if you have a digital system of currency, then it gets distributed to you, and it can be cut off or changed or altered. If you're not, you know, you don't have the right credits or carbon credits or mindset, you know what I mean? This is all like thought, the thought police type thing, you know, social credit scores and things like that. If you're doing the right thing for big daddy government, then you can, you can have that flow of credits or tokens, but you know, you don't have that actual, you know, a lot of people around now are doing, you know, work for cash and offering cash for work. And I've been using it lately as well. We have that thing in Australia where we say, let's all just use cash. So I always say to our listeners, you know, make sure, you know, every week that you get out, go to your bank and you withdraw cash. And you have that on you, and when you need petrol or groceries or milk or bread, use your cash. And it's, I went to some local markets today, and I took the little one, and we had a whole day there, and I paid with cash for everything, and they were like, oh, I'm like, yeah, that's right, it's actual money, look, I'm holding money, you know, like, oh, because they got these little scan, you know, tap and go scan thing, which
sort of putting them under your nose as soon as you walk up to them, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. Isn't it amazing? Yeah, you walk up, you buy something now, and they just hold that FPOS machine thing in front of you, you know, and it's like, no, I'll pay for it. it's so funny. Do you remember money? Do you actually remember physical money? And look, you know, I know money's just printed out of nowhere and everything, but it's the best thing we have at the moment to try and stave off this digital hell.
Yeah, you're transacting anonymously, right? I mean, it's like
a you're being tracked.
Liberating thing. Yeah, you can just go into a shop and no one knows what you're buying. It's anonymous.
Yeah, that's right. But every time you tap and go, your credit card, your name, your details, everything's going up. And this is what a lot of people didn't know with the people said, I'm not going to use the QR coding with the COVID thing when they locked us down. Mm. But are you paying with your credit cards or your debit cards? Because the government here in Queensland actually admitted that they're actually looking at transactions made through credit and debit cards to see where you were and if there were any so-called outbreaks of the COVID, the Fauci flu, as they call it, and that they could actually contact you through that. So there you go, you know. This is why you go to your bank machine or wherever, each week, and get out what you think you need for the week. And, you know, and this stops you spending too much as well. And, you know, have that limit for yourself and everything you need to get. Just, I know it's difficult, folks. I always say to listeners that it is difficult, and I fall into it as well, that tapping your plastic card.
Yeah. The convenience.
Oh, it's a pain. They get you, don't they?
I can't remember the last time I paid by card. I'm just one of those people who just everything's cash, you know.
Have money on you, and if you don't have money on you, don't buy it.
Yeah, pretty much. Just always have cash on you. And you need to up here because, like, it's more remote. Less cash points about. So when you see one, you dive in there and you get the maximum amount out and stuff. And most people up here are happy to see cash, like they want to transact in cash.
It's immediate, isn't it? Like if you go into a business and you pay them cash, you know, and you're buying their services or their products, then they've got that money for the day and it's right there in front of them. It's not in some cloud.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They don't have all the fees. Well, I guess they still have fees because they have to sort of pay it into the bank, but yeah, they don't have that sort of third party. But yeah, I mean, like logically speaking about money and using cash as well, there's literally no benefit to having money in a bank at this point, is there? Because it's not like you're earning any interest on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's no real benefit to it. So, you know, I'd say keep the absolute minimum that you need in the bank account.
Just to pay bills and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then just take the cash out and maybe put a percentage of your earnings per month into like gold and silver, physical gold and silver, and, you know, buy all the tools and all the stuff that you need.
You know, and keep some at home.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like we're coming into that era where a good investment is actually like, you know, I don't know, like a tool or something that will last you 20 years or, you know, stuff just generally around the house that's going to last you. And, you know, there's a good investment is in physical objects right now, isn't there? Like seeds, you know, original heritage, non-GMO seeds, just like absolutely stock up and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be good value in that stuff moving forward, isn't there? You
know? Absolutely.
And the prices are only going to go up as well.
That's right.
So, yeah, get the money out of the bank, I say.
That's right. That's right. Interesting times, and we can see where they're going. That's the important thing. We can see where they're going. Absolutely, 100%. And you know, and I absolutely think people are doing this. So really, there's just endless things to talk about as we move forward here. We'll finish up for tonight. Anything you want to finish on? You want to mention any of your informational channels or anything? Let it out there.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's a good conversation today.
Thanks, man. It's great. Always great.
Yeah, nice one. By the time this goes out, I'll probably have a new video up. It's going to be on smart cities. It's going to be exploring the smart city stuff. So we'll get that up today. That should be up by the time this goes out. And Jay Wilderness is the channel name across all the different platforms. There's loads of them, so easy to find. And thanks as always for having me on. Appreciate it.
And as we just quickly before we finish, as we were talking about before we started, the Light newspaper, you saw that video in Ireland where they're handing out physical newspapers of the Light. I spoke with Dawn and David the other night. They contribute to the Light, and also John Haber contributes to the Light. It is a fantastic publication over there in the UK and your part of the world. And here we have a video of these folks with a truck full of these physical newspapers, actual real newspapers, ready to hand them out to the communities and get them in all the shops and everything like that, so people can read the truth about 5G and this incoming tech AI grid and what we're going to be really living under if we keep accepting this. And this is a fantastic move forward. It really is creating these real news outlets so people can, as you said, in your area, like a lot of elderly people who are stuck in the news, give it, you know, shove it in their mailbox, and it really might give them a jolt, you know. And
they will read it.
Absolutely. What a fantastic way forward. This is the people, power to the people, and I love seeing this over in your part of the world there. Absolutely fantastic to see. We were talking about the other night, The Light. You know, it's an online digital newspaper and also physical, and they're doing a fantastic job exposing everything that's happening. This is really, really, really good to see, because I love that news outlet, and I read the articles. I absolutely connects with everything that I'm researching here, so really wonderful to see. Yeah. This is what we need more of, getting information into people's faces. We have to combat the mainstream media outlets, and who are dying, who are absolutely dying. We're already seeing proof of that. They're just falling to pieces. Their views are so little, and people are moving to better and more secure information that we're seeing there. So it's really good. And times, I think we're seeing a mass awakening, mate. I really do. And we're in really incredible times, and just know that you, our listeners, myself, we're here for this. We're here for a reason, and this is the most important times in history, and it's wonderful to be here, and there's so much happening, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. So we'll continue for this. Going to be tons to cover as we ring out this year and into next year, and with all the great videos that you're doing and work that you're doing, and I really try to promote them on the website, and everything that you post, and every time that you do a video, it gets shared on Telegram, and it goes straight into our Telegram group. And so it's wonderful. It's just speeding up so fast. Every time something happens, it's just like a fire. It's unbelievable. And people are watching these. And as we always say, it's a wonderful expression to put out video as well. So we're podcasting, we're putting out printed papers, we're doing videos, and it's just getting this out to the world. And information is the key and the power, and it's the driving tool to wake the masses up and just get people thinking for themselves and push those fence sitters off and say, hey, look what's going on, wake up, you know. It's it's really wonderful to see. And so video is what you're doing, is a very powerful tool, is what we always talk about. It's a very powerful tool, and a great expression to wake people up. So great work, buddy. Fantastic work. And I know you've got more videos coming out. And your smart city one's going to be absolutely fantastic, because this is what we need to show people. That is this the kind of future that you really, really want for yourself and your family and your kids? I don't think so. You don't want to be tracked and traced with everything you do. You don't want to have no currency and no life left and just be dictated to by these maniacs who think they run the world on top of the pyramid. And there's only a few of them. And there's billions of us. And guess what? When billions of us wake up, it's game over. And the most important thing is not only waking up, but changing our vibrational frequencies. And that comes from the heart center and making it loving. Once that happens and those frequencies change, these things, whatever the hell they are, can't exist in this realm anymore. And they've got to, guess what? Piss off. And that's what we want. That's what we want. They can't exist. Well, it can't exist here anymore. And that is done through all of us linking up together and sharing this kind of information and creating communities here. So you are doing fantastic. Your work is going fantastic. Your channels are growing. I'm seeing your channels over there on Telegram and everything. They're really exploding. People are coming in all the time and wanting information and sharing info and getting it flowing. It's fantastic to see. So we will connect on the next one around the end of October this time. We usually chat around the last Sunday of the month, I would say, is a good time, the last Sunday of each month. Then you'll know that we're on, pretty much. And I'll get this through to you when it's up as quick as I can, buddy.
Nice one. No rush, no stress. Thanks as always for the support.
All right, we'll chat again soon.
This one. Take care, Adam.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.